Morning again. Amen. Worship team. Yeah. I have to pull myself towards myself. No, man. God is so here. Thank you, Lord, for your presence. I kind of sat and I was just weeping. And now I have to try and say something intelligent. So, interestingly enough, this morning's session is entitled A Passion for His Presence. We kind of started last week asking the question, who are you becoming? And I think we need to kind of discover who we are becoming, who we are first, before we discover what we do. So it's always about God's presence. And I mean, what better example than what just happened during worship? You know, it's like, I have no better illustration. I can kind of stop now and we can just worship someone or wait on God. That's also okay. But I'm a pastor and I've got the microphone, so yeah. But I find as I've grown older, I don't have to keep myself so busy and running around and whatever the case may be. And as I draw away from the busyness of life, I'm enjoying His presence more and more. And I'm passionate about His presence. Is it okay? Have I got this thing where it's supposed to be? Okay. And as I press into His presence more and more, and we experience His presence like we did this morning, the things of the world begin to fade a little bit, don't they? And the stuff doesn't become, or the stuff becomes less important. And the stuff of this world can't form who I am. Yeah? I mean, and that is just so important. And sometimes it's painful. Sometimes it's difficult, you know? Especially when you're a Christian, especially when you, for example, like me, am in ministry, and success isn't really perceived in the way the world sees success. Do you know what I mean? I'm reminded of a story, well, not a story, an account in my life. And I was sitting with an uncle of mine and with a whole lot of our friends, and we were sitting around a dinner table or a lunch table or something like that. And, you know, it's people I've grown up with for many, many years. Obviously my uncle, but then other friends that we've been in school together. And they're all very successful in business. You know, so I'm kind of the black sheep of the family and the mates, in the world's terms, okay? And he sat there and he said, you know, so what do you do? And what do you do? And this one's doing this and this one's doing that and this one's, you know, all sorts of wonderful things and big businesses. You know, when I say big businesses, like 600 million rand businesses kind of thing. And he turns to me and in Greek he says to me, and you? What are you doing with your life? When are you going to get a real job? Because what are you leaving for your family? No, that's not a word of a lie. What are you leaving for your family? He says, I'm not leaving much for my family, 50, 60 million. But when you die, what are you leaving for your family? And have you put your family's care in the hands of these few people in this church? Like, get a real job. So he says that to me in Greek. So to the English people, he goes, hey, you're doing well, you're doing well, you're doing well. And he looks at me and he speaks to me like that. And, you know, as I press into his presence, I don't care. Because Jesus is worth more than all of that, isn't he? He so is. I know I am his image bearer. I know I am his son. And as I press into his presence, I know I have value as a son of God. I'm prized. I'm held by majesty. And what better thing could there be? Because money comes and money goes. Yeah? My identity is in Christ. And that's where my security comes from. That is where my anchor comes from. And we need to find that anchor in our lives, in Jesus, and spend time like we have today, just in his presence. And he is here. And just be present to what he's doing in you. As you begin to feel him, he's moving and he's prompting. And I see his presence resting on people here this morning. Just allow him to do what he needs to do. Because as that happens, you know what? He anchors you. And you know where your anchor is? It's in him. So just if you could imagine with me for a moment a picture of not a tugboat, an oil tanker. There we go. You know an oil tanker, one of those massive ships in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean. All right? Now those are big ships, huh? But they're nothing when there's a storm in the Atlantic. And those waves come. And can you see that boat doing this? Yeah? But then take that same boat, that same oil tanker, put it in the harbor in Cape Town and anchor it to the continent of Africa. Man, the storms are going to come. It's not going to do anything to that boat. It's going to stay solid. And that's the deal. As you press into his presence, as you encounter Jesus more and more, you know where your anchor is? It's in him, in heaven, in that thing that cannot be shaken, the continent of Africa, the kingdom of heaven that cannot be shaken. But it's his presence that gets us there. Okay? So let me ask you, what are you passionate about? And maybe that's an irrelevant question this morning after what's happened during worship. But we trust in God is going to do more and more. But, you know, what are the things that draw you so strongly that people call you a fanatic? You know? Has anyone here been called a fanatic? You know what a fanatic is? Okay, there's one there's one person who's put up her hand and Ellen's pointing at her as well. So, but you know how you define a fanatic? You define a fanatic this way. A fanatic is a person who talks about the same thing over and over and over again and refuses to change the subject. That's what a fanatic is. All right? So now, can I just say this? A little bit of disclosure, personal disclosure. I am a Springbok fan. Okay? Yeah, well done. Okay, I like this church, huh? Yeah. And so, you know, I love the Springboks, you know? And last week, I wanted to throw my remote at the television, okay? But this week, I'm like, hey, the boys, hey? You know? And I can shout and I can scream at the TV, and that's fine. But if I get the least bit excited about Jesus, then I'm a fanatic. Then I'm a religious nut. But if you want to become the person God's called you to become, you've got to secure your identity and who you are in the presence of Jesus. And we need to cultivate a passion for his presence in our lives. So this kind of spark this morning, this is just the tip of the iceberg, man. This isn't it. We've got to continually press in for more and cultivate that passion for Jesus in our lives. Now, there was a man by the name of Nicholas Herman, and he lived in the 1600s. He was born in France, and when he was 18, Nicholas had this incredible encounter with Jesus. He came from a wealthy family, and he just decided, no, he's going to press in, deepen his relationship with God. Began to work as a footman in the king's employee kind of thing. That didn't work out for him, so he joined a monastic brotherhood in Paris, France. And some of you may know his name. He changed his name to Brother Lawrence. Anyone heard of Brother Lawrence? Yeah? Okay, if you haven't heard of Brother Lawrence, Google him. Speak to Ellen. Get his book, okay? And he kind of had this amazing thing. All he did in the monastery was he was a cook. He was a cook and like a cleaner in the kitchen. He cooked and he cleaned, okay? But he developed this incredible gift of praying and pressing in and longing for Jesus and the presence of Jesus in the most menial tasks in his everyday life. He was so passionate about God. There's a book written, okay? And you can get this book. It's called Practicing the Presence of God. The Practice of the Presence of God. Okay, and the simple cook learned to press in to the presence of Jesus and seek after the presence of Jesus in everything that he was doing, not just in church. When he was brushing his teeth, when he was putting on his shoes, when he was cooking, when he was cleaning, when he was peeling a potato and chopping an onion, he was pressing in for the presence of Jesus. And here's the deal. We can engage with God in whatever we are doing, at work, at home, at play. We are created to love God and delight ourselves in him. And how is it that a simple cook from 500 odd years ago, where are we, 20, 23, 400 odd years ago, my math is not that good, his life as a simple cook, that simple book, it's this thick, it's not a massive read, okay, is still impacting people today. Wasn't clever, didn't write a big theological textbook like this, wasn't a professor in a university, wasn't a simple cook. And this little book is still impacting people's lives today. It's still for sale on Amazon. Still. What book was written 400 years ago by a cook that is still, and it's just about the presence of Jesus. It's not a cookbook, no. You know? But his identity was secure in Jesus. You know, he wasn't going in the monastery, I'm going to work my way up to get a bigger cart and a bigger donkey, you know? That wasn't the deal. He was just after Jesus in what he was called to do in the everyday tasks of his life. He wasn't looking to get a Mont Blanc quill. You know? Okay, some of you are looking at me like I'm crazy. Okay, Mont Blanc. If anyone wants to bless me with a Mont Blanc pen, I'll one day Jesus will give me one. They're about 4,000 Rand for a pen. Okay. No, I don't want one. Please don't do that. But he wasn't looking after that. There was, you know, not that there's anything wrong with things, but when our identity is in things and going after the bigger car, the bigger cart, the bigger donkey, the bigger thing, our identity gets caught up in that and then life gets messy. When your identity is not in Jesus, when you're not going after his presence first, trust me, your life gets messy. Because you become like that which you worship. That's an Alexander Fenter phrase. You know? But we do. So Paul challenges us this way. And he says this. Am I now trying to win the approval of men or of God? Am I trying to please men? If I was still trying to please men, I would not be a servant of Christ. That for me kind of encapsulates a little bit about of Brother Lawrence. He wasn't trying to please anyone. He was simply working, pressing into God's presence and going, Jesus, I will glorify you when I wake up, when I'm brushing my teeth in the menial tasks. It's not about the big deal. It's not about the big stuff. It's about my everyday life pressing into the presence of Jesus. You know? And sometimes we don't want to it's difficult to do that because it's so much easier to look for people's approval. Like when I'm finished, can someone come and tell me that wasn't a bad sermon? I'll feel better about myself. Okay. No, I'm kidding. No, you don't have to. Eh? And as Ellen says, if you don't like what I'm saying, you don't have to come back next week. It's okay. But sometimes when we kind of press into the presence of Jesus like this, we go, what do people say if they know that I'm a Christian? You know? What do people think of me if they know that I go to church? Well, here's one. What will my friends and my family say if they know that I tithe? I give 10% of my income. That doesn't make sense at all. Come on. Life is hard, man. Things are expensive. What do you mean you give 10% of your money to the church? Surely you can buy a new BMW or a fancier car or, you know. But we've got to press into Jesus' presence. Brother Lawrence says this. Read that with me. We only need to recognize that God is intimately present with us and we can address him at every moment. How beautiful is that? You know, that's the deal, that in our everyday life, that's what kind of the point is. We want to be passionate about his presence, not just when we're here at church on a Sunday morning, when we're worshiping. And it is so beautiful, and church is so important that we come together and be in God's presence, 100%. But it's in that place, being in his presence and being passionate about Jesus in every moment of your life, recognizing the majesty and the sovereignty of God in the good and the bad, in every moment, okay? And I've taken Matthew 6:33, and we've all read it, you know, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. We all know that. But look how beautifully Eugene Peterson translates this. Steep your life in God reality, God initiative, God provisions. Do not worry about missing out. You'll find all your everyday human concerns will be met. I don't know, did you get that? What Jesus is saying? Huh? If you put him first, if you steep your life in him, in his provision, in his initiative, what he's calling you to, in what he has for you in your life, all this other stuff falls into place. And somehow, friends, it does. You know? And, you know, I always say this, you know, if it's, I think I said it the last time I preached here a while ago, but that's the deal, you know? If I've read the book, at the end, everything's going to be okay. If it's not okay, then it's not the end. Amen? You know, and you're going, yeah, but this person's sick and they're going to die. And I'm going, well, they'll be healed in heaven. I mean, Lazarus was raised from the dead, but he died. He still died. He's not alive anymore as far as I'm aware. Actually, no, he's not. I went to Cyprus, and in Larnaca, the Greek church, Hagia Lazarou, you can actually go into the tombs and see where Lazarus is buried. So no, he's definitely dead. I've seen it. Okay? So... Okay, let me stick to my notes because, yeah. But Brother Lawrence says this, in the end, our only business is to love and delight ourselves in God. But we look for the big things. We look for the wonder, for the experiences, for the heroic stuff, okay? But Paul says this to us, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. And it's one thing to go through difficulties well. It's one thing to glorify God when you're standing here and preaching and God's doing wonderful things or there's amazing stuff happening in your life. But it's quite another to glorify God in your everyday life when there's no witness, when there's no limelight, when there's no one even paying the remotest attention to you. It's a different thing. Because we come to church, I think Ron said it, some of you dressed really nicely today. I don't know. I think everyone dressed nicely, you know. I even dressed nicely. My wife dressed me this morning. So, but we created to love and delight ourselves in God. Okay? So, I want to look at three guys from the Bible quickly. And we're going to start off with Moses. Okay? So, Moses had a habit of getting himself into trouble. I mean, we can't read the story. We haven't got enough time, okay? But he was a bit of a hothead. Stuff happened. He got into fights. He got into conflicts. You know, all sorts of things. And we know some of those stories. But whenever Moses saw something happening, he felt compelled to get involved and to react to the circumstances around him. But then something happened, and he met God. And he began to press into God's presence. Remember the burning bush? And things began to shift in his life. And instead of reacting to stuff, he started responding to stuff. Yeah? Which is a big difference. You know? And when his leadership was attacked, when stuff happened in his life, his first place was to go to God. And he was pressing in for God's presence. And, I mean, he has a scripture we can read together. Exodus 33. My presence will go with you and I will give you rest. The Lord replied. Moses said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. How will anyone know that you're pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth? Did anyone see it? my presence will go with you. Come on, that's the deal. I don't want to go anywhere unless Jesus is with me. And I know he's always with me. I get that. He's omnipresent and all that fun stuff. But Lord, may your presence go with me. Hey, church, I want to say to you that the Lord is with you. His presence goes with you. What sweeter thing can there be? Moses knew this. He was passionate about God's presence, about God's love, about God's care, about God's provision through the struggles and the things of life. Okay? But he knew that he couldn't make it on his own. He knew that if he settled for anything else, he was settling for second best. All right? It's kind of going, God, if you do not go with me, I'm not going. Here's the deal. I'm standing here, and unless you go with me, I'm not moving. I don't know how many of us live that way. Or do we kind of carry on with our lives and then discover that some drama's going on and going, oh, your Lord, by the way, can you just come over here and help me with this issue? And we run ahead of God, or we run away from God. When I say run away, we run, not run away from him, but you get what I'm saying. He's not guiding our every step. You know, we are called to be people of the presence of God. God, if you don't go with me, I'm not going to go and play golf. God, if you don't go... Sorry, that was a bit close, eh, Tony? My apologies, my brother. You know, I can't speak of the conviction of the Holy Spirit here, but you know... Okay, let me change. I will not go and watch the Springboks, Lord, unless you go with me. Okay, now I'm upsetting myself. But I'm not going to go shopping. I'm not going to go to the shopping center. I walk into Pick and Pay. Do I go, God, you're with me. The kingdom of God goes before me. The very atmosphere changes in Pick and Pay, and I can see your kingdom come to the people's lives around me in this place. His presence goes with us. But your identity needs to be in him. And the deal, guys, this is a game changer for me. Really is. Christianity is not just about a nice Christian club and living good moral values, man. It's about his presence and his kingdom breaking out wherever we are. You know, and the challenge is, how different would your life look if you were aware of his presence with you in every moment? Would you watch what you watch on TV? Would you read what you read? Would you be on social media checking out stuff that you're checking out? If you were aware that Jesus is right with you, would you do the things you usually do if Jesus was standing right there with you? Hey, I'm a poet and I didn't know it. Eh? That was pretty good. That's not even in my notes, that. I'll just... But it's a game changer, his presence. Okay? So there's just two more characters from the Bible, or people from the Bible I want to touch on, and then we're going to go into a time of ministry. But let's look for a moment, go forward, 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 no forward. I've got to do what? I've got to have faith. Ah, there we go. See, have faith and check, it worked. So, Elijah. So, you know, if you look at Elijah's life, I mean, he went through ups and downs, but he was a man who was passionate about Jesus and single-minded, about God's presence, okay? He had a commitment. Even when his life was challenged and he was going, Lord, okay, just kill me now. He was still talking to God. Do you know what I mean? And he sent out to live his life passionately for the mission of God. And he, like I say, fear, anxiety, the ups and downs of life, you know. He's convinced people want to kill him, and then he wants to go, and, you know, he went through a whole lot of stuff. But in this passage, twice we see this. 1 Kings 19, in 10 and 14. Huh? When God says, what are you doing here? Twice, I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. And the Lord says to him, what are you doing here? He says, I am very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. Okay, he's going through all this stuff, but he's zealous. And the Hebrew word there is koina, which means jealous and envious. I don't know, that for me, I had to think about that a little bit. Am I jealous for God's presence? Am I envious for God's presence? Am I after God's presence in my life? What are you jealous after in your own life? I'm jealous for my time. I'm jealous for my day off. I'm jealous for what is entitled to me. I'm jealous for whatever it might be. But are you jealous in your own life for God's presence? And in Elijah's story, there's this time where he's going through some stuff and he's looking after God, and there's a hurricane and there's a fire and there's an earthquake. And I'm sure we all know that story, and again, we haven't got time to read all of that. But, excuse me, Elijah was passionate for the presence of God. And we want to see God in the smoke and the mirrors and the lights and the lightning. But actually, God was in the still small voice, in the miracle of the gentle, quiet whisper. You know, verse 12 of that passage tells us that God was in the still small voice. That's where Elijah found his marching orders. That's where Elijah encountered, well, he encountered God, but he was like, okay, this is what I need to do. The miracle of that gentle whisper. And when you're going through difficulties, when you're going through trials in your life, when you don't understand why you're going through things, are you jealous for the presence of God? Are you pressing in for Jesus, for his presence? Because it is only God who's going to sustain you. And if you want to become the person God has called you to become, you need to be passionate about his presence. In every area of your life. Paul encourages us this way. For in him we live and move and have our being. Come on. Somebody. Yeah? In him we live and move and have our being. Christianity is not this cultural club that we hang out together, go home and live our lives as we want to. We have our being, we live, we move. Everything is about Jesus. If he says go, you go. If he says stay, you stay. You listen for the miracle of that gentle whisper, and he is the one who sustains you through the difficulties and trials of life. And I'm not sure if anyone has had any difficulties or trials. You know, this is Centurion. Is everything perfect? Huh? It's not like we come from Valtefrieden Park, like Roodepoort side is a bit rough there. Huh? You guys all smiling. There's no problems this side. Eh? Check, Jesus even gave you load, took load shedding away, so there was power this morning. This doesn't happen by us. Eh? Yeah? But in him we move and live and have our being. It speaks of a passion for his presence. And the Holy Spirit comes as we wait on him, and he invades our life. He seizes us with power. Something changes. Okay? And Jesus in John 14 promise us the Holy Spirit. But in the Amplified Bible, it goes like this. He promises us as a comforter, a counselor, a helper, an intercessor, an advocate, a strengthener, a standby, who will remain with you forever. Can I ask, as you look at that screen, does anyone need some of that? Hey man, I'm the first one putting my hand up and saying, come on Jesus. I need comfort. Come on, Jesus. I need a counselor. I need a helper. I need an intercessor. I need an advocate. I need someone to strengthen me. I need someone to stand by me. Stay with me forever, Jesus. I don't know about you, but me, I need that to live this life. Yeah? Spend time with him. Not just on the mountaintops, but in the valleys, spend time with him. And as you do, he begins to form stuff in your own life, and you begin to change and shift and know that everything's going to be okay. And you begin to, your identity becomes caught up in him, and the stuff that happens doesn't have that ability to knock you flat. Yeah? Okay, last guy I want to look at is David. King David was passionate about God's presence. And let's just read this Psalm 27. Light, space, zest, that's God. So with him on my side, I am fearless, afraid of no one and nothing. When the vandal hordes ride down, ready to eat me alive, those bullies and toughs fall on their faces. When I'm besieged, I'm calm as a baby. When all hell breaks loose, I'm collected and cool. Why can David say that? Because he's a man after God's own heart. Yeah, he was a sinner. Yeah, he messed up. Yeah, he was an adulterer and he was a murderer and he was whatever. But he was passionate about God's presence. And the guy went through some stuff. He lived in a cave and people wanted to kill him and all sorts of unpleasant things were happening. But, man, look what he says. I am fearless. I am fearless. I'm collected. I'm cool. And if you're religious, you can go and read it from the King James or whatever. Would it be better if I put it in like a deep voice? I am fearless. It sound a bit more reverent. But yeah, even though he's going through all these difficulties and hardships in his life, David goes on, he says, I'm asking God for one thing. To live with him in his house my whole life. I contemplate on his beauty and I'll study at his feet. That's King David. Wealthy king. The greatest king, arguably, in the Bible. And he's going, all I want is to be in your presence. All I want is to sit at your feet. And he's the king, so the king should know everything, isn't it? All I want is to study at your feet. Yeah? David's greatest desire was to live in God's presence daily, moment by moment, hour, minute by minute. So how does this apply in our own lives? Are we serious about being passionate about God's presence? You know, I think we need to be because, hey, listen, we live in a strange and fallen world. Listen, it's not only South Africa is not the center of the universe. Trust me. No, listen, you know, we think we're the only ones going through stuff. I spoke at a conference in PE, and as a blessing, the guys gave me a year's subscription to Time magazine. Yeah? In that whole year, I think South Africa was mentioned twice. And there's just drug going on everywhere in the world. Okay, so we aren't the center of all the drama in the world. We have our problems, but so does the world. Okay? But if we're not passionate about his presence, if we don't press into his presence, you know what happens? We read social media, we read all this stuff, and it begins to form in us something different. Yeah? Jesus said it. In this world, you're going to have troubles. Okay? But if you're not focused on him, if you're not passionate about his presence, all the stuff that happens begins to form our opinions, begins to form how we think. And then begins to affect our identity, which is supposed to be in him, but actually it starts becoming in the stuff of our lives. Okay? We need to practice the presence of God. Because you know what happens? Then when conflict happens, when stuff happens, we have the ability to deal with it. And we don't react out of anger. We don't fall into despair. We rather go, thank you, Jesus, and we respond. Isn't that a better way to do it? And look, I'm preaching to the choir because I can get a little bit tense about stuff sometimes. Find me on Facebook. Folks are rolling me about stuff all the time. Okay, I get into big fights on social media because I say stuff about Jesus. Anyway, and I used to react. I was like, but actually, come on, man. Jesus, it's about you. It's about you being glorified. And I respond in love. I don't react out of anger. And that's the deal. You know? So stay zealous for his presence. Through the ups and downs. And when we are passionate about his presence, when we press into his presence, we find that counselor, that advocate, that intercessor, that strengthener, that one that helps us. Okay? That one is with us. And it shifts our worldview. And the only agenda we have is to make Jesus famous. So I want to finish this morning with a quote from Brother Lawrence. This is out of the little book I mentioned, okay? And he says this. He, so Jesus, does not ask much of us. Merely a thought of him from time to time. A little act of adoration, sometimes to ask for his grace, Sometimes to offer him in your sufferings, to offer him your sufferings. In other times, to thank him for the graces, past and present. He has bestowed on you in the midst of all your troubles to take solace in him as often as you can. Lift up your heart to him during your meals and in company. The least little remembrance will always be the most pleasing to him. One need not cry out very loudly. He is nearer than we think. Amen? So, here's a couple of, I finished last week with a few questions for reflection, and I want to put these questions up, and then we're going to just take a little bit of time to just wait on him, because I don't think he's done with us yet. So, what am I truly passionate about? As you kind of just take a moment and go, what am I really passionate about? What changes do I need to make in my daily life to cultivate a passion for his presence? Just think about it. Do I need to stop binge watching Netflix and pick up my Bible? I don't know. What is the following quote from St. Augustine stir in you? God loves each of us as if there was only one of us. Man, God loves you as if there was only you. Do we need to rediscover the art of listening to God? So, Holy Spirit, come. We've been sitting for a while. If you want to stand, why don't we stand just, or sit, whatever you feel, but let's just wait on God for a few moments. Come, Lord. And I want to say to you this morning, just take captive the thoughts in your mind about the roast chicken at home, what the family lunch this afternoon, the broken car, the flat battery, I don't know. And let's just be present to God. Let's rediscover the art of listening. What is God whispering to you now? I believe that God is wanting to whisper to us this morning. Quieten your mind. Open your heart and listen for the miracle of that gentle whisper. So come, Holy Spirit, in this place. Come, Lord, as we wait on you. God of wonder and majesty, come and invade our lives. Come, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit. And as God just begins to move over you, I just see his presence resting on so many this morning. Just simply say yes to Jesus. Let him do what he needs to do. Do your business with him this morning. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Lord. Come and move in power. Come and have your way among your people. Let holy chaos fall in this place. Come, Holy Spirit. Lord, we invite your anointing, we invite your presence, and we invite the supernatural life to come in this place this morning. And I just feel that God is saying there's no obligation here. This is not something you have to do. This is something that you get to do. This is not your duty as a Christian. This is your privilege as a child of God. So it's just saying yes to his love, yes to his presence, yes to his anointing. And there may be some here this morning that you're going, I don't know what that means. I want to say that he knows you better than you know yourself. He knows the answer to that yes already, and it is his good, pleasing, and perfect will. And as you say yes to him, you will walk in the fullness of who he has called you to be, in the purposes that he has for your life. A life filled with peace, a life filled with his protection, a life filled with his anointing, a life filled with his purposes, a life that will be a salt and light to your family around you. I feel there's some here this morning, you've been trying to argue people into the kingdom. I want to say to you, you cannot argue anyone into the kingdom of God. You can love people into the kingdom of God, and God's presence goes before you and prepares hearts. He is the one that saves people, not you. Can I say that again? No one here can save anyone. Jesus saves them. He's the Lion of Judah. You don't have to protect him. You just got to let him out of his cage. That's how you protect a lion. So receive the kingdom of God where you are now, church. Friends, know you are loved. Say yes to Jesus and allow his presence and his power to engage and touch you this morning. In Jesus' name. So the worship team are just up here. They're going to play a little bit. I want to say, if you feel that you need God's touch, you need his love, you need his anointing, you need more of him to just shift something, maybe to empower you as you go from this place to change the world around you. You know, the picture I have is Moses coming down the mountain when he got the Ten Commandments, and people were scared of him because of God's presence. That as you go from this place back to your families, back to your homes, wherever it is, people will go, yo, where were you this morning? Did you have your makeup done? But that his glory would be on you. Amen? So why don't we stand as we worship, and if you would like prayer and anointing, if you're busy and God is doing stuff with you where you're sitting, that's great. The Lord bless you. Don't rush what he's doing. Don't feel you need to rush off. But if you would like us to pray for you, to lay hands on you, to bless what God is doing in you, if you need healing, he is here and his anointing is here and his presence is here. There's a team available to pray for you. Man, and we just want to impart God's manifest presence and his love to you. So come, Holy Spirit, in this place. Come and have your way in this place as we worship you, Lord. Friends, don't miss out on what God is doing. Do some real business with him. And like I say, let us pray for you. If you need prayer, come up for anything at all. Come up and let us minister to you.